I'm reading from Paul, who wrote to his brothers and sisters at Philippi. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Well, we've heard the text four times. Did anything jump out at you? Anything jump out at you? How about verse 4? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Do you know where Paul was when he wrote this letter? Exactly. He was in prison. And if you read Acts chapter 16, you'll read about Paul and Silas being thrown into prison. And they were flogged severely. And they were thrown into what was called the inner cell. And they must have been beaten and bloodied. You know what they were doing at midnight? They were singing. And it blew the jail doors right off. And a jailer was saved that night because of that. But the point being is that Paul could write about rejoicing in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, we recently celebrated Thanksgiving Day. And I have to tell you, there have been times when our Thanksgivings didn't go very well. The worst of it all was when we received a call just before we were to sit down for dinner that our niece was in the hospital. She had had her baby, and the baby had passed away. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's on Thanksgiving. How do you rejoice in the Lord always? So that's a particular part of this text that always strikes me, doesn't it? It's powerful. Well, let me think here. How about verse 6 and 7? Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, through prayer, supplication. This is my version, by the way, that I've memorized. And thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I always get stuck on that, have no anxiety. Did anybody watch the Browns yesterday? You know, I've been an old football fan, an old football coach over the years, and I decided to look at my Fitbit. While I was watching the game, and it registers my heart rate, boom, it was up. And you know what that is? That's anxiety, dear friends. But of course, we know that there are a lot of troubles in our world. Not only over in Gaza, but all over. And there are a lot of people who are struggling, who are hurting, and their anxiety. Paul says, have no anxiety because we can petition God. We can pray on a regular basis. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts in Christ Jesus. To me, that's another part of the power of this text. And then what about the ending part? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is excellent. He goes on and on, doesn't he? And what Paul's getting at is he talks about the mind of Christ. And if you read Romans 12, Paul says, be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds that you might know and approve the perfect, pleasing will of God. And what he's talking about is that when we give our life to Christ, that we begin to have the mind of Christ. And it's those things that we begin to think about. We think about rejoicing. We think about the fact that we can pray, and it's powerful. So all of those, to me, are powerful. But what I discovered, I don't know when, but I discovered it, is that this particular text that I read, I always forget that there's four words that, to me, are the foundation of what Paul was talking about. The Lord is near. Did you catch that one? The Lord is near. See the Advent wreath up here? Yesterday we lit the first candle. Now, why do we do that? Well, Advent means coming, right? So Advent is the season where we anticipate the coming of Christ. And of course, you know, we look back, but it's also looking forward. And the coming of Christ is something we anticipate. In the meantime, the Lord is near. Do you remember Joseph's dream in Matthew? Joseph had a dream because he was going to divorce Mary. And he had this dream, and God told him, you know, go ahead and marry, and you will have a son. You will call him Jesus, and they will call him Emmanuel. You sang about it, Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Whenever I have a baptism of a child, one of the texts that I use, that I talk about, I don't read the whole text because Psalm 139 is a pretty long psalm. But if you read, I suggest you do that, you'll read about how near God is to us. Because the psalmist talks about the fact that God is with us, near us, even in before we're born, while we're in the womb, that God knows us. John Wesley called it prevenient grace. Prevenient grace means that God is not only with us, that God goes before us, but God is near us. And of course, that's what's important here, isn't it? That as we look at the Advent candle, what is it? Hope, joy, peace, and love, right? I don't know if I got them in the right order, but we do that so that we can have a sense of God being near us. We can pray that God is near us. Even though if we pray, sometimes we feel like nothing's happening. Be assured, God is near us. So let us remember as we take Holy Communion tonight that the disciples were, after communion, you know what happened after the Last Supper. Jesus was arrested and went to the cross. And the disciples, they were hiding behind locked doors because they were afraid. And yet Jesus came, and it was an affirmation, I will be with you always until the end of the age. So tonight, let our hearts not be troubled, but let us lift up our hearts and know that God is with us. The Lord is near.